Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Perceptive Podcast. I'm Josh Pleiser, the owner and lead writer for Game Wisdom. Tonight, we have a special guest. Joining us is Robert Edwards, who's a fan of the podcast.
Hello. I don't know if I'm special, but I'm a guest.
You're definitely special. You're our first guest.
Oh, thank you.
And as always, my co-host, the site designer and artist for Smugby Games, Kenneth Ohm.
Hello.
All right. So let's begin. Robert, would you mind telling everyone, you know, how you found the podcast and everything?
Sure. I was listening to another podcast from the folks at Quarter to Three. And you, Josh, were a guest on their show, talking about games and news and such. You mentioned you had your own site about game design, and popped on over. I read the articles, really liked what I saw. Started listening to the podcast and sent you guys a message, pretty much.
All right. Yeah, man, it's always great to have new people on. Instead of it's just Canada and I talking to each other for an hour and a half.
Exactly. It's because with that, it's just back and forth between the two of us. So having a third party, we can be a little more random, the way we speak. And our tangents can be reeled back in when we get too far away.
All right. So let's begin by talking about some games. For me this week, I'm talking about the Video Game Awards. I know that a lot of people normally don't watch because it is on Spike TV, but they did have their annual awards show this weekend, and it was pretty interesting to see the winners. For Game of the Year, The Walking Dead actually won, which I think that surprised a lot of people, both from the quality of the game and the fact that it won on an award show from Spike.
Yeah. I would assume that, you know, it would be Madden or Call of Duty to win Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the first VGA actually went to Madden 2004. Game of the Year.
Sad. So sad.
And interestingly, according to a list of awards, Call of Duty did not win any of the major award categories this year.
I think maybe they did votes via human cast instead of just whoever pays the most.
How many did The Walking Dead come away with?
Let's see, they won Game of the Year, Telltale won Studio of the Year, and Melissa Hutchinson, who voiced Clementine, she won Best Performance by a Human Female. Oh, and Best Adapted Video Game and Best Downloadable Game also won.
Oh yeah, because it is. I mean, I never actually played on the iPad, but it is available for that platform.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess it's really good when Best Adapted Video Game is one of the few examples of an IP that was translated properly to a video game.
Well, and there's a bunch of other ones I think that are sleeper hits, just like this one, like Batman Arkham Asylum was a good sleeper hit. Mm-hmm. So was, then, you know, obviously they had to follow up, and a bunch of other people followed the same system. Like Sleeping Dogs has like a very similar fighting style to Arkham Asylum and City.
Looks like Journey won awards for Best PlayStation 3 Game and Best Original Score. Have either of you guys played Journey?
No, I have not.
I don't have a PS3.
I tried the demo. That was just the extent that I played of it. It's on my list of games probably to buy at some point. But it's surprising to see how it has won so many awards. It's considered a pretty big hit among the people who have played it.
Well, it has a very artistic streak to it. I mean, the whole game is based around the, you know, the hero myth. What's the literary term for it?
The hero's journey.
Yeah, exactly. So everything about it, just the name alone, it's journey. All right. So it really pulls off of that and has some great interaction and structure to it. And they really break it down to what we find so engaging about that structure. And just from the videos that I've seen and the interactions between other players, it's really unique.
It sort of follows a Demon Souls and Dark Souls multiplayer style. You can like drop in, but you can't really communicate with each other, right?
Yeah, yeah. But that's actually allows for more creative types of conversations. Mm-hmm. Like an example, I always find it funny because in TF2, I always have my sound off. And when I talk to people, I just do it with head shakes and stuff. I find that a lot more engaging because they're trying to follow me. And if they like jump back or shake their heads too, that means that they're reacting to my actions. And I find that engaging.
All right, let's see anything else interesting. Mass Effect 3 won best RPG. Borderlands 2 won best shooter. I don't know, Kent, have you played Borderlands 2 yet?
Of course, I played most of it.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Robert?
I have not. Only the first one.
Did you like the first one?
It was all right. I guess I'm enough to jump into the second one. But I guess it's on the list for things to do eventually.
Yeah. And next week is, of course, the big Steam Winter Sale, so there's always a chance it may pop up there.
Winter has cometh.
Let's see, anything else interesting? Looks like Persona 4 Arena won Best Fighting Game. I think that's the first time I've heard of an Atlas game being on Spike TV.
Well, you know, it was done by the, at least was drawn by the BlazBlue guy, so it looked great. And I heard it had a very unique system. So, mm-hmm. all pluses too. And they're really extending that game a lot, Persona 4. Not only the RPG, but they have like another release of it on the Vita, and now the fighting game. It's very similar. I feel like a lot of Japanese role-playing games are being extended via that way, with like, direct sequels or anime series, stuff like that. Like, I believe, Tales of Vesperia and Tales of Symphonia both got anime series to kind of elongate the brand.
And Persona 4 actually has an anime series too. I think it's available on Hulu, maybe?
Oh yeah, it's on Hulu, that's right. It's available on Hulu.
Have you, either of you guys played Persona 4 at all?
Not at all.
I've watched the animated comic series of it.
Still on Hulu as well.
Yeah. By the way, I'm also, if you hear me clicking around, it's because I'm adjusting the volume as we go. Sometimes I'm a little too loud, or you guys are too loud.
Did you have something to say, Robert?
Oh, I was just gonna, not on Persona 4, no. So I guess continue your thought on that.
Persona 4, it's definitely, I think, the most successful of the overall brand from Atlas, which is called Shin Megami Tensei.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it interesting from the Persona brands is one part role-playing game and one part like a dating simulator almost.
Well, it's more like simulator in general, because like you simulate, you have to take classes and exams and lots of stuff like that.
In between like fighting evil creatures from another dimension.
I remember the when it first got released, the first game of it. It was one of the first like 3D, like a lot like 3D perspective PlayStation games, RPGs, next to Wild Arms. I thought it was a pretty good, cool game, and I really like how the series evolved, especially Persona 4. And I haven't even played Persona 4, but I've seen enough, Let's Plays of it and animation intros of it, and you know all the different brands and games and television series out of it. And I think it's a pretty well-rounded universe.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know the actual name for the PSP version, it's Persona 4 Golden. That's their official name for it.
And they add a lot of different things to it, I believe.
Yeah, I've heard you can now play as a female student, and I heard they've added, a few more social links.
Social links go! If anyone knows that, it's from the motion comics from Hima Daisy.
Oh, right. Okay, so what do you have to share with us this week, Kenneth?
Oh, I can pick me first? Okay. I have less exciting stuff. But G4 is officially biting the dust in a few weeks. So our favorite game channel is going to be gone.
Oh no.
Oh no. I said before, it's a double-edged sword, you know? It was great that they brought geek culture to the forefront, but at the same time, it was a lot of pandering. They're just trying too hard, you know? It's kind of like when you have a parent who, like, puts on their hat backwards. It's like, yo, dog, what's the happening? You're like, that's so uncool. But I still always felt like G4 was to gamers, and they didn't really reflect well. And they only picked mainstream games. They didn't talk about, like, the intricacies of the industry, too. And, yeah. You know, it reflects... They are kind of like the reflection of VGAs, too, because VGAs were always that way. Just big titles and not... Like, they always have celebrities on there. We would rather see developers on there, you know? Like Cliffy B and Miyamoto and... Like, any of the up-and-comings, you know, Tim Schafer.
And actually, I think the VGAs actually originated on G4. I think.
Yes. That's probably where I got Stink from.
Yeah, the first host, I think, was Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, my God. And it makes sense. Anna Nicole Smith hosted it. Madden 2004 won Game of the Year. Makes sense.
Either of you guys actually... watch G4 at all? Because I know I pretty much stopped watching it for at least a few years now.
I watch clips online. Like, I watch X-Play. Like, for when I look for reviews and stuff, sometimes I like watching video reviews, which is why I like watching GameTrailers.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, I haven't watched it in about a year or so.
Maybe that's part of why they're dying. But if,
yeah.
According to the article, it's all because they're trying to rebrand themselves. And they're going to be called the Esquire channel to be some more sophisticated. But they're going to still have some shows related to games and stuff. But this is more for the proper man, what they quoted. So I don't know what that means. Does that mean we have to shop at Structure and wear Armani? I guess so, to be real men.
I remember when G4 was tech TV, that was like the golden age of it.
That's because it was cool back then. Mm-hmm. It had information that wasn't you know, pandering. It was just tech information that we would find interesting.
Leo Laporte's Call for Help was one of my favorites.
Who actually came from tech TV? Who's still left from it? Anybody?
I know, was the X-Play when it was first GameStop TV or GameSpot TV, was that while there during the Tech TV era?
I don't know. Did CNET ever own them?
No.
Yeah. Shouldn't talk about things I don't know. But yeah, so my final words on the piece here is that, even though it was the bane to all gamers, it was the uncool uncle, it was just lame all around and pandered way too hard, it did bring games to the limelight, you know? Showing that, you know, these things are great, a lot of people play them, here's our exposure to it, to the general public. Yeah, so it's good.
And this was before, I think, the internet really caught on, before video games did really hit the mainstream market in like the last half of the decade.
Right. And I believe just probably a lot of things encroach on its market, like just Let's Play people and reviewers online, bloggers, everything just came to hit. It's not really their fault as much as, you know, their whole station's losing money. So I assume that's what they had to go or rebrand themselves.
I'd like to see some of that transition into whatever they're, I guess, moving on to, Esquire, TV or whatever it may be.
Well, they'll probably show you how to fold ties, and then you can show a retro Pac-Man game.
You bit ties.
Yes. Look at all this variety of ties. They're probably different colored hats.
Alright. So what news did you bring to us this week, Robert?
Well, this week it looks like Valve is rolling out their community market. Right now it's still in beta, and what it is a kind of an online auction house where in-game items. Right now, with only the Team Fortress 2 items.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have hats rolled out there yet, or wearables, or anything like that, but I think it's just consumables at the moment. Mm. And, but, I mean, pretty interesting. They're moving that way. I think you could always trade and buy Team Fortress gear, other little in-game items, but I think this is the first time you can actually do it with other people or actual cash. I'm not 100% sure on that. But it does look like whenever somebody buys an item, you will get that cash in your Steam wallet, so that way you can use it on other games or on other items. So theoretically, you could dump a whole bunch of items on there from playing Team Fortress 2 and buy more games.
Oh my god, all my characters are going to be naked now. They're all going to look, they're all gonna look vanilla because I'm going to sell all my stuff.
Someone actually bought me a video game for a few of my Team of 2 items. It was a Serious Sam 3 from last year, I think. I got like a contact. I goes, how much do you want for this? I go, well, look at my wish list. Okay, I'll give you Serious Sam. It's crazy to me, you know, that people are, you know, that hooked on, you know, these virtual items, which, I mean, for Team Fortress, they're really just novelty items.
Yeah, but, you know, they do have some gameplay elements attached to it. You see, originally there was a really cool art aesthetic to it, but, you know, people said that it became a hat simulator when they released all these different patches and stuff. But honestly, what it does is allows people to differentiate different players based on their hat or colors. So now you know if, like, that guy with the pink hat is killing you all the time, you know who to avoid, etc., etc. So it does add a new element of gameplay where it allows you to not only personalize your character, but know the other players, too.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which is the cool side effect of it.
Yeah, I know that while my friends from Steam, we got tired of Team Fortress 2 because of the items. It just felt that a lot of people were more interested in trading and, you know, collecting items and actually, you know, playing the matches, you know, playing to help their team win.
You don't even know. I that's like my game of fame. The only game that I play consistently all the time is TF2. It's kind of like a smoke break for me. So, I mean, there's definitely people that do trade, but there's actually a whole server dedicated to just trading. So when people just start spamming a server, we just tell them to go to a trading post so we can play. Stop wasting the slot, you know?
Well, hopefully having an outlet for them to put these things up and actually get some money for them may help that.
Don't worry, and I think it's going to spike people returning to TF2 at the same time. Which is good and it's good for their overall player base. I mean, I'm sure it's still really strong now, but we'll get even stronger later. And, people that run servers for a living, like run servers for TF2, will definitely like to hear that too.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're planning on, once the bugs are all worked out in the beta, rolling it out to other games, and developers will get a cut of the fees. Or, you know, the auctions that happen. So developers could have a bunch of items in their game that could be put up on this auction.
Oh, yeah.
Market. Well, and, there was get a cut from that.
When they first released the custom hats, I mean, in terms of, like, player-created custom hats, the first people that started making them made, like, I don't know, in the hundreds of thousands, like a ton of cash right away. And you know, the economist on staff too at Valve thought of the idea of that diamond ring. if you don't know about the diamond ring, there's a ring you can buy that announces that you're like engaged to somebody, and it costs $100 real just to get a little alert on everyone's screen in the server. And believe it or not, it sold like hotcakes too.
Yeah.
Let me turn down my volume again.
So, with the item system, I know that it's sounding good for a Team Fortress perspective, but as we know, Diablo 3 met a lot of criticism for their auction house system. Okay. Do you think that that's going to you know, be similar to TF2 when it officially comes out?
No, no way. I think, first of all, Valve is smarter than that, and they're not as money-grubbing as, say, you know, Activision Blizzard. And I'm saying Blizzard is evil, but I'm sure, you know, they had a hand in trying to make it. I mean, let me just say that the auction house had good intentions to elongate the game, right? To keep the community alive and people coming back. But I believe that this will be successful because it has, you know, a pretty faithful base. Because think about this. When did Orange Box come out?
Oh, what game?
Orange Box.
Let's go to old Wikipedia.
Tip-tap. Probably 2005. That's a good guess. I'm going to go with 6.
2007.
Darn.
2007, October 9th.
Wrong again. Okay.
So what are you going with the Orange Box?
Oh yeah, sorry. I'm altering my audio. I keep realizing it fluctuates up and down. All right. So what I was saying about the Orange Box is that after all these years, the community has been emboldened, strengthened, grew in numbers. Usually games like, well, multiplayer games like that die off. And it's kind of had the same kind of life as, you know, CS, Counter-Strike, in terms of its, unique audience base. And they themselves power up the entire economy. And I'm saying that this is just another outlet for them to trade, because if they're already trading and selling, you know, why not make some money off it too? So.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that is not going to become a grind fest. It's just going to be trading. Because the way that it drops in TF2 is just random, where you can buy it from the shop.
I'm interested to see what other games are put up there after it goes live.
What games would tie into it? I mean, a lot of games are do their pre-orders with TF2 hats, actually, and they do pretty well by doing that.
Definitely, I would assume Dota 2, when it comes officially out, will probably be on there.
Yeah. Oh, I know, guys, I know I should have picked a better news article, but I just realized, what do you guys think about Steambox coming out? It's officially announced that Gabe Newell is releasing a console to go against the next cycle of next gen systems. So he's going to compete directly with, you know, the PS4 and 720.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They could do pretty well. If maybe they could use the OnLive system in a way where you can play their, I don't know. I'm speculating, but they have a lot. It just sounds really awesome. Think about being able to play my entire Steam library on my TV.
Well, I mean, you can do that already now, can't you?
Yes.
By just picking it up with a monitor and using Big Picture.
Think about this, though. Maybe they're going to do it, like, on live, or I think it's on live, where what happens is that you, all the information, everything that streams that you're, at least what you're looking at, is streaming from some sort of supercomputer.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the hardware stuff is based on your system, but the specs of their system, and then everything's going to be saved on the cloud and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because OnLive failed because it couldn't create the base, it couldn't create an audience. Valve has very, very loyal base, and, you know, I think that Switch would be very interesting to them, and I think that if they use that online system in a way with the audience, I think they really do have a chance to compete directly with the big consoles. And keep the love for the PC too at the same time.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something to look at, especially with how tricky it's going to be with next gen development. From what we've heard, haven't there been talks about restricting new sales and such? Blocking out games if you try to use with a used copy?
Well, that's like, didn't Sony talk about that?
I think Sony and Xbox have both mentioned that. So, I mean, if Steam can come in and say, hey, we're going to have all these games, you know, used, new, whatever, that could, you know, give them a nice bit of the market share right there.
Listen, if they just say, you can play all these PC games on your console, I'd be like, hell yeah. So, I'm just saying, like, to say, like, you don't need a brand new computer to play Crysis, right? You can just play it using our console. I'd be like, amazing. So, yeah. But that would really radically change a lot of the industry. Like, that would probably do a big hit to graphics cards.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'd start seeing a bigger shift of developers developing their games to be compatible with controllers. I know we've seen that a lot with XCOM that just came out. Seemed like it worked pretty well using a controller. And, you know, if Steam has a way for you to play on your couch, might as well put that support in there.
Yeah, I play Binding of Isaac through my controller, a 360 mm-hmm. controller, actually.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of them could easily put that addition on there if it's only going to benefit them. I mean, though...
I think there's only a certain set of games that will work with that, though. I think it's pretty big. But...
Well, what happens if they gave you the option that you could use mouse and keyboard? How do you feel about that?
Have you ever used your mouse and keyboard on the couch?
That'd be hilarious. That'd be hilariously awesome.
Oh, I use a keyboard when I was playing Monster Hunter on the Wii. That was just pain in the ass to, like, have my controller in one hand and my keyboard, you know, next to me. I'd be, like, switching between them. Quick, get out of the way. Send, no.
Listen, I played Phantasy Star Online for the Dreamcast just fine with a keyboard and controller.
I think keyboard and mouse is going to have to adapt to the couch now that Steam is adapting to the couch.
Well, don't worry. We'll just put a desk in front of the couch and then mission accomplished.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Steam couch / desk.
I'm surprised that we haven't seen like keyboards adopt like a little analog stick on them just to get like that same movement control that you have on the console, the controller.
Heavy cost, probably. Mm-hmm. Or lack of reason. So.
What about that little tiny nub that was on laptop keyboards in the 90s? That's pretty close.
No.
Those are horrible.
Those are horrible.
Yeah, we'll keep those up. You can edit that part out. Nobody knows.
Don't worry. I'm not going to edit anything because I'm lazy. By the way, I'm also recording at like a low bit rate too, so in the future I should probably make it like CD quality at least. So we can hear your voice in crystal clear, Josh, o'clock quality.
All right. Okay. So let's move on and talk a little bit about some of the games that we've been playing. For me, I've been splitting my time between Zeus, which we talked about on the last podcast, as well as Just Cause 2, which has been like one of my goals is to try to get everything done in that game. I still think of it as like one of my favorite like open world sandbox titles for PC. Have either of you played Just Cause 2?
I own Just Cause 2.
I have not.
The only thing that really interests me about Just Cause 2 is that multiplayer ability that's in beta right now. That looks amazing.
Yeah, that would just be hilarious to play.
I've been watching videos of it, just like 100 people just like grabbing onto airplanes and just flying around and just hitting each other and stuff. It's it's definitely a playground full of physics toys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think Just Cause 2 is one of the finest open world titles I've played, especially on the PC.
Yeah. Sveta Studio is long gone. I remember, at least from what I remember, after Just Cause 2, the studio closed their doors, I believe, right?
I don't think so. I think Outlab's still there, actually.
Or they laid off everybody. One of those, something like that happened, I remember, after Just Cause 2.
It is a shame that we haven't seen a new Just Cause game, just a new, really good open world game. I know, like, a few weeks ago I was playing Prototype 2, which came out this year, and it was just average.
Well, that was definitely a cash-in, you know? Mm-hmm. Prototype.
First one was okay, but it just seems that they didn't quite get down with making the player feel powerful, but at the same time making the world feel active. Just felt like by like quarterway through Prototype 2, I was just, you know, super jumping in one straight direction around the entire map.
Well, you're talking about like simulation of an active world. Play Assassin's Creed 3, because they do a really good job, not only the details of that era of time, but making those cities feel lived in. When, like, you know, it's just, it feels, it's just packed enough to feel like that's how it would be in that time.
And I heard Far Cry is pretty good as an open world game as well.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been playing. Excellent, by the way. I think we talked about last week, right?
Yeah. And I'm going to look into that. Hopefully, at the aforementioned Steam sale, maybe that will be one of them.
Yeah, I also believe that they weren't on the VGAs because they, like, their submission time was too late to put their hat in the ring.
Yeah. What was that, Robert?
I'm just saying that's a bummer. They probably could have picked a couple of those up.
Yeah, definitely. It was an excellent game. I'm still playing it. I got sidetracked though with my game I'm playing right now.
Mm-hmm. And also with Zeus, all the conversations I've been having with Chris B. Trizin from his post the other week finally inspired me to see if I can actually play through that. Because I have both Zeus, Pharaoh, and Children of the Nile, but I've never really like sat down to actually try to complete any of them yet. I've been playing them in like little bits and pieces over the years. So maybe this will be the time I think I'll be like 10 or 15 years late to finally finish Zeus at one point.
Better now than ever.
Alright. So what game have you been playing, Robert?
Well, Steam just recently had a sale for their big picture release, and I picked up Counter-Strike Go that they had. And it's interesting. I've never been much of a computer first-person shooter. I've mainly only played on consoles.
Monster.
So, the pacing is a whole lot different than I'm used to. It's kind of like a hunting for pixels, I guess. It's kind of like a point-and-click adventure almost at really fast speeds. I find that one, trying to find the enemy at such long distances, especially with a lot of those competitive maps. But, I mean, it was a pretty fun experience, very, very different. Of course, I'm horrible at first-person shooters, so I came to find.
Well, we should all play one day as a group. Maybe we all buy a Go, and then all be on a team one day. Or we all play TF2 one day and see how you guys fare. We'll do a YouTube cast. I was actually thinking about creating a channel for Game Wisdom, and then, you know, maybe highlighting some gameplay of the games we're actually talking about every week, and then maybe even maybe showing some visual demonstrations of some of the design theories that we've come up with.
Oh, cool.
We would love to have you involved if you're interested.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. One of the things I was noticing about Counter-Strike Go is they do have in controller support.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot imagine that really going well, especially to playing against other PCs. I don't think the response time is fast enough. And they also have a video setting where you can change it to if you're sitting on the couch or if you're sitting at a computer monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's with the big picture or something. And I couldn't find anything else that was different other than it just got brighter. Maybe I was doing something wrong. I don't know.
I have not tested it out yet. I did click on it by accident, and it was like, I gotta get out of here now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm actually writing a draft for an article concept regarding control design in the video game industry, and one part of that was about the difference between the controller versus the keyboard. Because there's always been that debate about, you know, what's the superior device, someone's controller or the keyboard. And I think it's interesting how they're both good at doing different game genres.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it has to do with the key inputs. When you're using a controller, the advantage of an analog stick is that it lets you make basically alterations of your movement due to, you know, the degree that you push the stick in different directions. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that it doesn't really work when you're trying to make, you know, multiple, you know, small adjustments rapidly, like in a first-person shooter like Counter-Strike.
Right. For me, the big difference comes from aiming and, you know, looking around. You know, normally it's your thumb moving a stick on a console, but then you move to the PC and you have a mouse, which is a whole lot more precise, and you can whip it around faster, and just the response time there.
Yeah, you don't have like that, like you don't have to reset the mouse like you do with the analog stick. That is, you have to keep putting it back to neutral to, you know, move it properly in another direction.
I mean, just have a lot of customization that I love. There's so much you can do to make it, you know, just to fit your playstyle. I don't know. I just like the options.
Yeah.
And then look, think about this. Think of all the hotkeys you can make. Bajillion hotkeys. You're limited on the controller, obviously.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to look at PlanetSide 2 that's free-to-play now on Steam, Robert?
I have. I started downloading it, and that's really as far as I've got. I would definitely like to jump in, though.
Yeah, I downloaded a few weeks ago. I've only played like a few minutes of it. It's definitely an interesting idea. I never played the first one, but it does do like this whole like open world concept really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that really hurts it though is that there's literally no tutorial to the game. If after you create your character, it just drops you off in like the closest battle and says, "Okay, have fun," and of course you're gonna die within like 3 seconds.
Yeah, well.
Well, I definitely have to try it out. One of the programmers at Smugby is in love with the game, so I have to definitely give it a playthrough. Maybe we should all play it ourselves. And again, maybe we should make a YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. Alright. So, Kenneth, what game have you been hooked on this week?
Well, last couple days. FTL. Faster Than Light. I've been playing that game nonstop. It reminds me of Binding of Isaac, its addictiveness. I'm just like waiting for like the best run, you know? And every time I think I'm doing well, I'm like, I don't find a store, my hull explodes, or I catch on fire, or I run into the sun, and a ship that has like 10 things of shield, and I just die immediately. Or I'm in a situation where I can't do enough damage to take out their shields, and my engines are dead, and I'm just waiting to die. And the point is, the game has so many awesome scenarios, and it does really have that kind of Firefly, Star Trek kind of feel, because you run different scenarios. Sometimes you run into survivors, and you can either rescue them, or you can sell them to slavers, or maybe they were slavers, and you bring them on the ship, and they try to capture you. There's a lot of interesting little things about it, and they convey so much stuff with such minimal graphics, and I find it extremely engaging. And I think it's definitely going to be the Binding of Isaac of this year, at least for me.
And for those of you who don't know, FTL was also a Kickstarter success. They were originally only asking $10,000 for it, and they ended up with $200,542 at the end.
Wow.
Wow.
The game was worth it. I'm playing it, and I'm loving it, so I'm happy for them.
Yeah, and I think it's also like the first real, I guess, success story from Kickstarter, because we've had a lot of games earn the funding, like Planetary Annihilation, Project Eternity, and so on, but FTL is the first game to actually be released from the Kickstarter, and I guess, good news all around that it turned out to be an amazing game.
Well, I'm glad, and if Kickstarter keeps doing that and keeps producing these games, I'm going to be very happy.
Mm-hmm. I know, I played FTL when it first came out a few months ago. I really liked it, like, as Ken said, it has like that Star Wars, Star Trek kind of feel to it.
I would say Star Trek more than Star Wars. Star Wars is space fantasy, Star Trek is space, science fiction.
I think my only problems I have with FTL, as Ken's saying, he's waiting, for the perfect run. You are very, I guess, limited by what items you find. It's not like buying an Isaac that you can, make do with a bad situation. If you go, like, 3 or 4 sectors in FTL without finding any weapon upgrades, you're basically screwed. There's no way you're going to win that run.
I can't. No matter what I do, that flagship is impossible to kill.
Yeah.
It's got, four weapons and, four shields and... So many missiles.
And I've been in the game a few times. I asked Ken if he wanted to, hear my little tricks and secrets, and he's like closing his ears. No, I don't want to hear it.
No, never. I'll do it myself.
And the other problem with FTL is that I'm really surprised we haven't seen any downloadable content, any new stuff for it. It seems that after the game was released, the developers kind of went dark on us. And I think this is one of those games that I would pretty much buy, any DLC, new ships, new events, whatever, at the drop of a heartbeat.
Man, definitely. Mm. I am very impressed that they got me this engaged, that I wasted so much time playing it so far.
I think it's a two-man studio as well, which is impressive.
Yeah, it's pulling me away from Far Cry 3, which is a huge game. So there, that says something.
Have you had a chance to try out FTL yet, Robert?
Yeah, I played it a little bit when it, I guess, was first released. I think it's the greatest part of it for me is just the stories that happen as you're playing along, and that kind of write themselves. You're a crew of three, and you're traveling around the galaxy, and all of a sudden pirates attack, and they board your ship, and you lose an engine, and all this other stuff, and it's different each time. So you go in, you get invested in your characters, and end up getting annihilated. I liked it. It was fun. After a couple playthroughs, though, I kind of got bored with it, and would have liked to see, a little bit more stuff there.
Yeah.
Whether that be DLC or something. I guess I kind of had the same problem with another kind of rogue-like-ish game, and that was Cargo Commander that he wrote a piece about. That's another one that...
Now, how did you hear about Cargo... How did you both hear about Cargo Commander? Just wondering. I heard nothing on it, the game at all.
Again, Quarter 3... Tom Schick wrote an article about it, picked it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing thing Tom was talking about. It seemed like a really interesting game. And it is good at first, but it, like I said in the post, the rogue-like elements of it clash with like the social, more casual game that they were aiming for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there a score chase element in FTL? I can't remember.
A what?
Score chase?
Yeah. You do get a high score.
Okay.
You do get a score when you beat the game, whether if you die or you actually succeed, but I don't think there's the option to upload it or see what your friends have at.
Okay. That might be a good thing, I guess.
By the way, just want to tell you guys, Duke Nukem 3D is on sale, free on GOG right now.
It's good old games.
Good old games, right. And because of you, I'm looking through all these old RPGs and I might buy one, you monster. I was thinking about buying Neverwinter Nights because I love that game. And I have it at home, but it's not here, and I'm going to play it right now.
Wait for the sale. You don't fall for it. Remember Steam's number one rule for games on sale.
No, but these are games I can't get on Steam, though.
Yeah, but they're doing daily sales, I think, for a while, so they may have them daily lower.
$5 is a lot, I guess. Oh, Masai? Interesting. There's all these games that... you know what's a good thing about GOG? Not to advertise them too much, but there's a lot of games that I saw in magazines when I was a kid, and I can never play them because I didn't have any sort of expendable income. But now I can actually check out these titles, and they're all on sale on GOG, so it's pretty cool. Like, there's one game called Masai where what you do is you... You know that game that came out recently, Mindjacker? It's a dumb... Did you know what I'm talking about, Robert?
No idea.
It's a game from Square Enix. Mm-hmm. What you did was you would jump into different people, and then you would make them do things.
And what was that called?
It's called Mindjack, I think.
Oh.
It was...
I'm weird about it.
It was so bland, it was awful. But again, it wasn't as corny as, say, Binary Domain. Josh and I started up Binary Domain to talk about it, and as soon as it started, it was just black stereotypes all over the place. And we're like, oh, oh god, Japanese and you're bad writing. But anyways, Messiah is a game similar to My Jack when I read it when I was a kid in the magazine. And you play a little cherub and you can take over soldiers and stuff. And make them do what you want. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely enjoyed good old games. I remember when they first started up, their first big thing was the Fallout series.
Oh, yeah. Do you get it?
I have the first one. I haven't bought the second one or Tactics yet. Maybe it will be part of one of their daily sales this week.
Oh. You're telling me not to buy. I want to buy. Why can't I buy?
You know how it works during these sales. They're always, the dailies will always be better.
I know.
For the last possible minute before you splurge on everything.
No. Oh my god, they have Seventh Guest. I never played that game, but I always wanted to.
Wait, did I actually buy that game on there? I've actually lost track from buying too many games of what I actually own or not.
It's a really messed up game. You heard of Seventh Quest. It's all like, it's the era of like the point and click adventure, but they use like video.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really
I
messed up things within it. Do you remember Seventh Quest? Here, I'll link you Seventh Quest right now.
Yeah. The Age of FMV games. I have Sewer Shark and Corpse Killer that I played before. Just a really weird time in the game industry.
That was a really awesome time in the game industry. It's sometimes really cool to see games with the limitations. But you know what, I just remember something looking through this list. There's a game called Anachronox that came out. It was like a Western RPG.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a dirty cyberpunk future, similar to like Firefly. It's kind of like, But, it never got finished. It ran out of funding at the end, and they just had like a small boss battle, and they all like, it's like, we're gonna go save the world, and they all walk into a spaceship, and that was it. Spoiler, by the way. Amazing writing. Great game. And if I ever could, I would definitely, if I ever could get the capital, I would buy that license and remake it. And finish it.
Alright.
It's one of my dreams. Alright, go ahead.
Alright, I think that was just one great tangent we ran on.
That's the best tangent of them all. Oh my god, Abe's Odyssey. Sorry, go on.
Alright. So, in terms of blog posts this week, we were going to talk a bit about The Walking Dead, but we realized that Kenneth and I have both finished it, and Robert hasn't. We don't want to do any really bad spoilers, because it is one of those games you want to play as a clean... You want to play as a clean slate, really.
Yeah, I've been trying to not find out about anything about it. Plug in my ears.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely don't click on my post today, then.
I haven't.
All right.
Well, think of Binary Domain with zombies, and then you got it.
Well, I mean, read the comic books and watch the show.
I think it's better than both of them, honestly.
So, I hope so.
No, it definitely is. It really, you'll get really invested in it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what we're going to talk about then for this week is my post on the Project Goddess Kickstarter. I know Ken and I mentioned it briefly in our last podcast. So we want to check back in with them. Last week they weren't doing so well. I think when we posted, I think they were just a little bit over 100,000 pounds. This week they have reached their 261,869 pounds at the time of this podcast. So they're a little bit under 200,000 pounds left. But they only had 8 weeks to go. So, guys, what do you think? You think they're going to pull it in at the last minute, or you think this is going to crash?
Well, they have 8 days to do it. And they have a little bit over half. So, yeah. They need, like, huge amounts of PR to get this going, to reach that end. But...
yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure what's going to happen. But I would really like to see Peter Molyneux make a game without any sort of restraints, right, by publishers. I would really want to see what happens. If he, because he always used that excuse, right? That's why something didn't work, or, you know, technical limitations. But here, you know, there's no excuse for your own limitations of your own team. So, we'll see.
I would have liked to see a prototype before they put out the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure why they did it that way or start so early on the Kickstarter.
Their name, probably.
Yeah, but they were hoping that Peter Molyneux's name would have driven the Kickstarter enough. But we haven't seen cases where that has been true. I know John Romero's studio, I think Utrop, they tried to do a Kickstarter, I think, last month or the month before that, and the thing just stalled halfway through. They actually canceled it, saying that they were going to try again with a more complete offer at some point.
Well, I haven't actually done any Kickstarters, but I'm actually really interested in starting, because looking at the awards, they're really cool. Yeah. I wish I was involved in the Kickstarter for the robot chasing game. What was it called?
Sir, You Are Being Hunted. It's the official name.
No, yeah, that's
Sir, You Are Being Hunted. That's by Big Robot.
Yeah, you didn't spotlight that game, but that's something we should definitely look for in the coming months. Mm-hmm. It's, how would you describe the game?
I think they're calling like a procedurally generated, like, open world stealth game. Let's see.
Yeah, you're on the island and you're being hunted by robots.
British robots, that's an important distinction.
Very, very gentleman-like.
Robert, have you contributed any Kickstarters yet?
I have only done one, I think. And that was, what was it?
Planetary Annihilation?
No, it was Jason McMaster's Captain Patch.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it was successful. I think they were quite a ways away from two lonely captains. I believe that's the only one. I can't remember the others. I looked at quite a few.
So far the two that I've done were the Double Fine Adventure game, and I did Planetary Annihilation. Planetary Annihilation I'm really excited about, because I think it really tapped into what I've been missing from the strategy genre, which are, you know, like the macro-oriented games, you know, about these huge battles, you know, taking place with gigantic armies. Instead of how we've been seeing with, like, StarCraft, which have gone for, you know, micro-oriented battles, where it's like maybe like only 100 guys per side kind of thing. Let's see.
By the way, I really going to make more money so I can spend more money on Kickstarters, because some of these awards at the top tier are pretty amazing.
Yeah, I really wanted to get a few for Planetary Annihilation, but I just didn't have the money, so I squeezed in when they had an opening for, you know, like the super discount free game one, and I got that for $15.
Has that game come out yet?
No, I think it's supposed to come out, I think possibly, I think first or second quarter of 2013, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay.
What rewards are you interested in, Kenneth?
Well, they're on the Project Goddess, you can actually, I think it's like the one that's like 1600, you get jewelry, like custom jewelry. There's only like 5 of them that exist. I'm like, oh man, so rare. Along with everything else you get, you know, like an art book with everyone signing it, a t-shirt with everyone signing it, you know, get 3 copies of the game, you get your name put in there, a character in there, everything, all these are crazy, crazy cool things to be immortalized in the game. And like, it's really nice how Kickstarter like makes you feel that you were actually part of the development somehow, that you contributed to it in a way. And you are, you're contributing money, you're paying an artist to do something or a programmer to create something. So
have either of you guys actually played any other games of the god game genre?
Just Black and White 2, I believe.
Does Tropico count?
No.
Darn. Does The Sims count?
Yes.
Technically, you're a god.
You're more like a, it's more like a dollhouse kind of thing. I guess we'll give it to you.
Yeah. Wait, does Dino Tycoon count?
No.
Darn.
Robert, what did you think of Black and White 2? Because I played like only once and I just felt really lukewarm about it.
Yeah, I had the same experience. I think shortly after it came out. And I think I was going into it thinking it was going to be more of an RTS type of game, which it clearly wasn't. So that didn't help. I maybe played half an hour, I think, of it, and just it wasn't catching my interest as much as it should, I guess. And I haven't picked it up since, so I haven't really had that urge to jump back into the genre.
Yeah, and as another great tangent back to good old games, they are currently, all of Pierre Molyneux's games are currently on sale. Right now, they're the daily sale, which, unfortunately, I think by the time this actually airs, people are going to miss it.
No.
But it will be on, it'll still be part of their regular sale throughout the week. So you can play, like the original game, Populous, which was considered the first god game that was created by Pierre Molyneux.
Oh, it comes with Dungeon Keeper 1, 2, Syndicate, Theme Hospital. I have Theme Hospital, but...
Oh, no, there's Magic Carpet.
Oh, Magic Carpet. I haven't heard about that game, but I never actually played it when I was young.
Yeah, me neither.
It was, wasn't it similar to, like, Panzer Dragon?
That game was awesome, that's all I know.
Magic Carpet or Panzer Dragon? Or both?
Magic Carpet.
Alright, you're missing out on Panzer Dragon. I just want to get Syndicate. I really want to get the original Syndicate. That looks actually pretty cool.
Dungeon Keeper is pretty nice if you played that.
I might have. Let me take a look. I feel bad because my clicking's so loud. Whoa! I don't think I want to play it. I'm looking at it. It's making me sick. Okay, maybe I'll play it just for you. I played Theme Hospital recently, though.
Yeah, Theme Hospital was fun. That was one of those games that the second came on, I had to buy because I remember owning it when I was younger, but I lost the CDs for it. And there's also the Overlord series on Steam. Have you guys heard of those? Heard of that one?
What?
What were those?
Overlord.
Oh, yeah, Overlord. Oh, yeah, I played those for sure.
Those were fun.
Yeah. That was pretty fun. It was sort of like a spiritual successor to Dungeon Keepers. You know, you're the bad guy kind of way. I think what just sucked about was that the second one, you weren't really an evil guy. You were just, you know, this angry guy who was fighting against the real bad guys. Getting back to Kickstarter with Project Goddess, I think what Kenneth was saying, that it is a really great way to, I guess, not only see the development of the game from firsthand, but it is a great way to, you know, contribute to these games that you are passionate about. Because obviously, the God game genre, we really haven't seen someone really attempt a serious version of that since Robin was talking about with Black and White 2.
So, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was done.
Well, okay. Well, I don't really have any much say in that genre, so Robert, you take it away.
I don't really have much to say about that genre either.
We're bad. We're bad.
Yeah.
They already know I'm bad.
I am looking forward to it. I hope that Goddess does get made. I guess I think I'm at a point now in my life where I might want to do that type of stuff again. You know, they're planning on putting it out on iOS and Android. I can sit there with my iPad and run around and unleash tornadoes and hurricanes and all sorts of stuff on little tiny people. You know, from the comfort of my bed or something. And that looks pretty interesting. I just, you know, hope they can get the funding somewhere. Because I think with Kickstarter, if they don't make their goal, they don't get any of that. Is that correct?
Yeah, if it's off by even $1 after the deadline of Friday, December 21st, they won't get any of it.
Right. So they're going to be scrambling like crazy. They need to...
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, I hope it does get made.
Do you guys think that with this project, you think that this is sort of Pierre Molyneux's, you know, last chance?
No. I think what it do is it might be hurt his ego a bit, but you know, as long as he stays in the industry, I'm sure he'll be still creating something.
I was talking about more if it does succeed getting funded, but it doesn't really work as a game.
Oh, is that what you meant? I thought you meant if it did, failed. Okay.
I don't know. I think he's had plenty of chances to begin with. So, I mean, adding another one to the list, I don't think it's really going to hurt it much.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, how many times have we, you know, said, you know, Pierre Molyneux promised this, and, you know, what we got was kind of lackluster. And yet the next time something comes out, you know, looking at it like, okay, let's hope this comes out. He's saying it's going to do this, this, and this. It may not happen, but who knows? And it, I don't know.
Yeah. I know, like, in the post, I've always had, like, this, you know, mixed feelings towards Pierre Molyneux. I think he's amazingly, like, talks about his ideas. He's always got that passion. He always makes you want to believe in his games. But I've yet to really become enthralled by anything that he's done so far. I've played almost like every game from him. I think the only one I've missed so far has been Fable 3.
Listen, where'd you lose your imagination and your love? Where did it all go? You monster.
I became old and heartless, and just from too many hours playing Left 4 Dead, it's conditioned me to hate everyone. Kill.
is that? Oh, don't, you're just feeding into the. The gaming.
And that's why Gus isn't back yet. Attitude like that.
Kenneth, how long have we been running for?
According to my records, 1 hour and 4 minutes.
Okay. Do you think we should be wrapping up now, or should we go on for a little bit more?
No, I think we said everything we can, but I think that Robert should definitely come on in the future and do more casts. Would you like to come on for more casts?
Yes, definitely.
I really like having a third person in these casts. Or maybe, go ahead.
Hopefully we can figure out a way to get Google Plus to record, or an alternative to Skype, so that way everyone can sound clear without dealing with Skype's weirdness.
Also, we don't have to rely on Skype, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, my computer doesn't have the right recording software. I'll figure it out eventually.
And if... I'll make some changes around here and see if I can get off a wireless and maybe see if that will help with the connection a little bit.
Audience, he's on wireless DSL. How horrible.
Well, I'm on DSL. I'm just on wireless in the house, so yeah, I guess so.
Still horrible.
And if anyone, if anyone is listening and you know of an easy way to record on Google Plus, we tried the on-air hangout, but that only, what was that, it only imports it to YouTube?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I mean, there's definitely a way to record all audio from your computer.
Okay.
But guess, what, guess what I just found on Good Old Games?
Oh no, what?
Lords of Magic. We talked about it last week, remember?
Mm-hmm.
This baby. It's right there. It's in the chat. Oh, I put it in Skype chat. Wait, we're on Skype. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was, of course, our little... weird thing that I've played all of Chris Beatrice's City Builders, and Kent hasn't done that, but he's played Lords of Magic, which is one of the games Chris designed, which I've never played before.
And you are sorely lacking. By the way, you guys ever heard of a game called Arcanum? Were you guys ever into Baldur's Gate series?
I've played Arcanum.
Arcanum's really... Arcanum's like the same kind of gameplay, but it's like steampunk. It's really awesome. I didn't realize how awesome it was until I got older. And realize how awesome the design was and the concept behind it was.
Oh, it's on Good Old Games too, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. You know, we $3 money from Good Old Games at this point for this podcast.
All right, guys. every time you mention an old game, we throw a dollar in the pot and we'll just buy each other. We should buy each other.
Buy them all.
Yeah, just buy a bunch of them. Buy them all, and we'll share them. Share a Google account, a GOG account. Just buy the entire library.
They actually had a contest, I think, a few months ago where you could actually win their entire library.
I would enter that multiple times.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Alright. Yeah, so, I think that is going to do it for us for this week. As always, we're going to be looking for either guest writers or for future guests for the podcast. And if you're interested, you can click on our little submissions wanted link on the front page, and that will take you to where you can contact us. And we'll definitely have Robert on again. Hopefully we'll get the sound and everything working perfectly. And we'll have a good chat that time.
Yep, definitely.
Yep.
Alright, so, as always, I'm Josh Beiser.
And I'm Kenneth Owen.
And I'm Robert Edwards.
And we'll be saying goodbye to you for tonight. Hopefully you'll have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, see ya.
Goodbye.